This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Did you really share that beer with the dog?
Yeah. No, we shared about 12 that day.
12?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it took a long time, a lot of different angles.
Did you
affect
his performance?
Not at all. Well, the more beer he got, the better he got.
And you?
I actually didn't really swallow that much beer because we had other scenes to shoot that day. But he wouldn't consistently go and get the beer unless you consistently gave him half of each one.
So were you a fan of these books?
I hadn't read the book before I read the script. We were actually going to make another movie. Me and Antoine were attached to making another film with Paramount. And my agent sent me this script, and I read it. And I was like, whoa, Antoine, you got to check this out. And then I found out about the book after.
This seems like, it would be the thing I would ask at the end, but it does seem like sequels could definitely be done to this. And I just wonder, is that something you would like to continue to play?
Well, I certainly enjoyed making the character. I still, this is the last movie that I made, so it's all still very fresh in my head. But I've never made a sequel before. It really would depend. If the script could be better than the first movie, then it's worth considering. But other than that, I don't know. Most sequels seem to be made for the sake of a few paychecks. It doesn't really seem.
Speaking of sequels, talking about another Departed. Would you consider going into that?
Yeah, I mean, I said the same thing to them that I say to everybody else. If we can make it better than the first, then sure. And I spoke to Bill Monahan and Marty about it, and Bill has a really interesting take. Thought it was really funny that I would be investigating the murder that I committed. You know, that could go anywhere. So, Italian Job, for instance, we were going to try to make a sequel, but never really got the script where we all felt really comfortable with it. So it really depends. We'll see what the material looks like. And that was another fun character to play. So,
what was that experience like last night? You know, going through the Oscars, and obviously you used to win, but the movie won.
Mm-hmm.
Was that redemption? Did you guys go party? Was it a good time?
I did as much partying as I could. I was still home before 12. I was up. You know, my kids are up really early in the morning, and I don't want to deal with my daughter's energy while having a hangover. It's just like, so it's good. It's a good reason to keep me sober. But went out and had, you know, we had dinner after, and then we went to one party with Marty and everybody. But I heard Marty stayed out until like 6 in the morning. Which I don't even know what that's got to be like, you know. Unless he was with Leo, and I know what that's like.
Was it fun to see him have that? I mean,
yes. And, you know, he certainly tried to downplay it like it's not that big of a deal. But I hadn't seen Marty that happy. And so it was nice. Obviously, based on his body of work, I would assume that he would have a house full of those things. But, you know, it's his first one, so to have been a part of it. And it's really fun.
Why is your emotion simply to be nominated?
I was like Marty, you know, I had never been nominated before, and there were talks of it, you know, once or twice in my career, so I always played it off like it wasn't that big of a deal, but obviously when I got the phone call, it was a very big deal. So, you know, I was thrilled to be able to call my parents and share the good news with them, and it was a fun time.
Of course, there's a sense that that kind of movie gets Oscar nominations. These sort of action movies are very fun, and they're not considered for that. How do you feel about that as an artist who does all sorts of projects?
It's fine, you know, whatever they choose to pick is certainly up to them. I mean, I get my one vote. I've actually voted for Greg Kinnear, for Invincible instead of, myself in the first go around. But it's fine. I don't mind. You know, I never made a movie because I thought, oh, I might have a chance to get nominated. You know, the movie with Marty was just a chance to work with Marty, and I thought the script was great. And, you know, I just try to do something different each time out, and, you know, hope that people enjoy the films, and then if that happens, then, and anything else happens after that, it's just kind of icing on the cake.
What are the ingredients, you know, to make you say, like, I want to do this? Like, what do you have?
Well, right now, I'm looking for the kind of movies that I would go and see, the kind of movies that I would, you know, see a TV spot and say, wow, I want to see that, because those are the movies that I think people want to see me in. I spent a good portion of my career making films some films that I wasn't necessarily interested in, but, you know, getting an opportunity to work with a filmmaker was certainly reason enough to make the choice. You know, I felt like I had a lot to learn, And what better way to do it than, you know, take a crash course with some accomplished filmmakers.
So between Shooter and Huckabee's, like, what is that, the kind of movie I would want to see?
Well, Huckabee's was a different thing. I don't necessarily know if I would run out and see Huckabee's opening weekend. But when a filmmaker like David O. Russell says, hey, I'm going to write this part for you, then you say, okay, well, it's something completely original. And, you know, you kind of take the leap of faith.
Shooter
was just a no-brainer. I mean, everything about it made me want to make the movie. I love the character. I love the story. We were looking to do something more commercial so we can, you know, be able to get other smaller, interesting movies made. And I just thought it had the best of both worlds. It said something. It was a smart, character-driven piece. And it wasn't just a shoot-em-up, which I liked a lot.
Is that a comfortable bargain for you, one commercial one and the ones you're fostering?
Yeah. Oh, I think one and two is a little bit better. One for them and two for you. But, you know, it really depends because it's a juggling act. It's all about making the right choices and being in the position to make the choices. So.
This is like, must be the most action you've done. I don't know. This is just amazing. Did you get hurt in this? It looks like you must have.
No, compared to Invincible, it was nothing.
Oh, really?
It really was a walk in the park. But, you know, getting down to be as thin as I was for the movie, that was difficult. And then, of course, all the preparation, all the mental prep, learning everything that snipers need to know and in a short amount of time. And it was a lot of running. There was a lot of running and jumping in this one. But
can you shoot now like that?
Yeah, I could shoot pretty good before, but I had never gone through sniper training. And now, yeah, I could. I hit a target of, like, you know, 1,500 to 2,000 yards.
Wow. What about the political tone of this movie? Because obviously there's some things about, you know, the whole kind of whole insecurity and just kind of how everything is into our lives and stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. what was your take on the political tone of the film?
I thought it was great. I thought, especially if young people want to come and see me kick some ass, and then they get a little information at the same time, and, you know, it just kind of makes them wonder, are these things really possible? And, you know, they go out and ask some questions, and of course, you know, demand some answers, and then the only way to really make change is inspire people to want to go out there and vote or to do something. So
this goes back to a degree to the conspiracy theory movies, like some of these, like
Yeah.
3 days of the
3 days of the Condor, yeah.
Are you interested in conspiracy theory?
I am, but, you know, that can be a dangerous game, you know. You know, David O. Russell has this great idea. He wants to do this other movie with me, and it's about this guy who, Gianni Russo, who was in The Godfather. He played the brother-in-law, the one that kind of got Jimmy Conn set up. Mm-hmm. Well, he hung out with Sinatra and with the Kennedys and all this stuff, and he has a whole other take on what really happened to Marilyn Monroe, JFK, Robert Kennedy. So it's crazy. So I went to church today, so I'm, you know, in a very good mood and giving everybody the benefit of the doubt, and, you know, people are honest and honorable, and ask me that again tomorrow or Tuesday. And, you know.
You said kids, this is a very violent R-rated movie, so as a father, how old a kid do you think should see it?
Well, it's easier to explain to my children than Boogie Nights, that's for sure. That's for sure. You know, yeah, I'm not making any more movies like that, but, you know, at the right time, you know, we'll be able to explain this one a little bit easier.
Does that play into your choices, Father?
Yeah, definitely.
So is that why?
You know, like, I love Boogie Nights, and, you know, I was really worried about what my mom thought, and then obviously she got it, but my mom is old enough to understand it, A, that it's a movie, and, you know, that these are just, you know, the world. It's just the world that those people live in. They're really, you know, nice people. But, you know, kids can be tough. You know, I don't want my, you know, high school can be like a lifetime. You know, I don't want my daughter being, you know, subject to ridicule because of decisions that I made when I was 25 and really wasn't thinking straight.
Yeah. What's been the most sort of surprising thing being a dad for you? Like, what's been the affecting that's been
kind of cool? You know, when they smile, when they give you a hug, you know, just the amount of love that you feel and the amount of satisfaction you feel. It really just puts everything into perspective, you know. Your priorities change immediately. And, you know, I got a couple more years of focusing on me, and obviously the older they get, the more attention they're going to need from me. But it's the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever.
Can you talk a little about shooting on the glacier? I mean, were you really up there for 4 days?
Yeah, we were up there forever.
It's
scary. I don't like flying in helicopters either. You had to chop her up and chop her down. And when the weather came in, it was pretty scary.
What part of B.C. were you in?
We were at Whistler, 7,000 feet above Whistler.
Was that the hardest scene that you think you had to do in the film? And if not, what was?
That was hard. Keeping a straight face with Levon Helm was extremely difficult. And any time after being shot, up until when I get to Sarah's house, was difficult. You know, just playing up the pain, and you know, because you always feel kind of silly. You know, you're like, what's going to be a gauge is real and what's not. And we didn't shoot it in order either, so we were kind of constantly jumping around and. You know, being able to go back and look at stuff and remember what level of pain at the time and or how close to death he was getting.
What drives him? His own moral integrity?
Yeah, honor. Honor and integrity. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And he won't compromise it for anybody. I love the character. I feel like, you know, hadn't seen that in a while.
What about outrage at the way the system's being misused?
Definitely, you know, I think the audience can certainly relate, which is why I saw, you know, men and women cheering almost uncontrollably when I shot Danny Glover and Ned Beatty. Awesome. I saw our test screen. Ladies were like, yeah, fucking kill him. I was like, yes. You know, I ran out of the theater, obviously, because I couldn't be there at the end, but wow, I cannot wait to see it. I want to, like, see it in Times Square.
Yeah, do you think it's tapping, like, a sort of sentiment that we're feeling a little screwed over by our government right now?
Oh, definitely. But that wasn't, you know, it's great that it worked out like that, but it wasn't really what we were thinking about at the time. We just thought, hey, this is a really interesting script. You know, we were going out to make a big commercial movie, and we said, well, why not make this, you know? But it just got like the Anna Nicole thing, you know, where, obviously we shot the movie months and months ago. So.
Was there any debate about that, like, up to the last minute? Like, was it once the bad news?
We didn't think so. It was, it wasn't until, like, yesterday and the day before, where, you know, we were getting people's reactions from it, but. And at that point, it was too late to take it out.
You have a great relationship with Michael Pena. Was that there from the beginning, or did that
Yeah.
come as you were?
Yeah. No, you know, we just clicked. You know, we were like, we're going to play golf on Thursday, and we spent a lot of our off time mm-hmm. together. I really admire how committed he is to his work. You know, it was a well-written part. It was a part that I would have love to have played, or that I would have chased 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. I thought we were really lucky to get him, because I know he's been in some great films in a short amount of time, and I feel like I can, you know, take some of the credit for his success. He's
going to
be a big star, I think.
Did you choose him because now you're the star of the film?
Well, we all kind of, you know, they certainly asked me what my opinion was, and we read with a bunch of people. I just wanted the best person for the part. I wanted the best possible chemistry between myself and whoever was going to play the part. And we read with a bunch of people, and he just nailed it, you know, and everybody felt that strongly about him being the guy.
Entourage is more popular, I think, than it's ever been. How involved are you still with the show?
I've been off doing my own thing. Those guys, if those guys need my help, then they're screwed. They, you know, they're so talented. It was really about, you know, putting the right pieces of the puzzle together and just kind of, you know, between us and HBO, kind of getting them to where they needed to be, and now they're off on their own, and they're just, I can't wait. I don't even want to see the dailies anymore. I want to tune in on Sunday night like everybody else.
Are you as surprised at how much it's caught on?
No, I thought, you know, we thought that it was going to be a big hit. We always thought, you know, especially with HBO. Because initially when I told people about the idea, they thought it sounded like some kind of silly MTV reality show. And I was like, no, we want to do the traditional sitcom about four guys. And, you know, there's certainly a guy in the group that everybody can relate to, and certainly with the help of HBO, we were able to really take our time and develop it. And, you know, the people that we got involved in the show are just super talented. So it's just a matter of allowing them then to kind of do their thing.
The show came from your stories, you know, coming up. Like, have you seen the guys have now having their own stories? And you know, now that
they all have their own stories. Kevin Conley's going crazy, bought some $2 million house, and he's having all these problems with construction and all this shit. And it's just, it's so funny. But they're all doing great. They're all enjoying it.
Your character in The Departed was a supporting role. Do you have any reservations about making him the lead in a sequel?
No, I mean, look, you know, you work with Martin Scorsese and Bill Monahan. Again, if the script is really strong, you know, you got, you know, they'll bring in somebody like De Niro or somebody to play a corrupt congressman or a senator, and you know, no, I don't have a problem with that.
What if Marty decides not to direct it and someone else?
Like a first time video director.
No, but
I said, fuck it, let me direct it then. You know, no. I think that would be the smart road to go. Me and Marty are doing a TV show as well on HBO, so I think we get Marty in there.
Could you talk about that?
Yeah, it's going to be set in Atlantic City. It's about, you know, the mob controlling Atlantic City in the early years. This period piece, like in the 60s and 70s. Nick Pileggi is going to be writing along with somebody from possibly from the Sopranos writing team, and Marty's going to be executive producer. No, it's going to be a series on HBO.
When do you think that's going to get on schedule?
It's all kind of happening. You know, Marty's really jazzed about it, and HBO is obviously thrilled at the idea of working with him. So I think next couple of weeks we're going to sit down again. And
does it have a title?
Not yet, no.
Big philosophical question. If you've exhausted every legal means to solve a problem, do you think that you would actually be able to go out and take care of yourself? I don't necessarily mean kill somebody. I just mean, you know.
Well, again, it's Sunday, so.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a Wednesday question. You know, get a little further away from Sunday.
Okay.
But no, I would hate to be put in a position where I had to, you know, God forbid something happened to my children, or, you know, something happened to somebody that couldn't defend themselves. I don't think I'd be that quick to be reasonable, or, you know, be so forgiving. But that's what I'm supposed to do, and that's what I practice on.
My question kind of goes hand in hand with hers, because I was going to ask, you mentioned that you were at church this morning, and also that, you know, your faith means a lot to you. Yeah, I was just going to ask you, this being the Lenten season, is there anything you've given up, or do you really kind of go all out with the Lenten thing of giving up meat?
Yeah, no meat on Fridays. I mean, you got to, haven't had any beer. But, you know, I don't necessarily try to give things up as opposed to focus on doing better. You know, being more patient, being more generous, being more honest. You know, those are the things that I try to do, and I remind myself of those every day when I say my prayers.
Last question, please.
You said that you haven't shot anything since Shooter. You haven't done anything since Shooter filmed. What are you thinking about for the future besides the HBO thing?
Well, hopefully I'll be starting to shoot a boxing movie in the summertime, playing Irish Mickey Ward, the boxer from Lowell, Massachusetts, and Matt Damon, I think, is going to play his brother, Dick Eklund.
Football was hard.
Oh no, I know. Listen, I always on paper it sounds really good until you're actually, you know, 2 weeks into shooting and I'm, you know, wanting my mommy.
You take a lot of these physical roles. I mean, you really challenge yourself physically. Is that something you hope to keep doing with each other?
Well, I promised my trainer / sparring partner that this would be the only boxing movie I ever do. Kicking his ass twice a day, but yeah, you know, certainly while I can. I mean, I always wanted to be an athlete, so it was a dream to be able to put on an NFL uniform and get out there and to play a champion without actually having to spend all the hours in the ring and take all the hits that he had to take. So yeah, I mean, it's a dream for sure.
Well,